Welcome to episode number 107 of Go With Energy Flow podcast. This episode is all going to be about creating real change in your life, making better decisions, and keeping promises to yourself. So if you're here, you may find it challenging to do the above, and this episode is for you. So we're going to offer some real life examples and some alternate perspectives to why you may be resisting change. And our intention is essentially put you on a higher timeline by listening to these alternate perspectives. So you may fully know that what you need to do and what's best here as far as making real change in your life, but you may have some resistance towards it. Like, you may know what's in alignment with your higher self, but the motivation and the commitment is fleeting when it comes to actually like sitting down, taking action, and doing the thing. Or you could be another side where you're really unsure of the how, and you're letting that kind of hold you back because you're in this mind space where you're just really focused on the how, and you may feel frozen because you don't want to make the wrong decision. An example of this would be if you know you need a certain morning routine to start your day super focused, or a certain night routine to have the best sleep, yet you procrastinate on starting, or you just avoid it altogether. Or you make a promise in the morning, and by the evening you do the same thing that you said you didn't want to do, like stay up late, for example. I am very guilty of this. So whatever it is behind this, you may find yourself surprised at the reasonings behind your resistance to change, make decisions, and trust yourself. Because we kind of dove a little deep here. There's four reasons that I feel are kind of the culprits behind this. And so listen to the one that really grabs your attention the most here. Whatever really resonates with your situation may be the next thing to focus on healing, to see kind of where it leads you. The first one is abandoning the self. This is a long one. It's kind of going to tie into number three, but we'll dive right in. So from a young age, we learn that abandoning the self is the norm, abandoning emotionally or physically, and thus we create conditions for loving ourselves and conditions for showing up for ourselves. These two go hand in hand. Only if we meet those conditions, only then do we get to feel love for ourselves. And only then do we get to lead ourselves well and make choices that will upgrade our reality. One common condition that we may set up for ourselves is productivity. If we're productive that day, only then do we get to show ourselves love. In a sense, we're reinforcing our abandonment wounds if we are not productive. And this is because loving ourselves unconditionally is not only trusting in the self, but showing up for us and everything that we want. So we may find it easier to abandon our dreams and goals if we only give love to ourselves conditionally versus unconditionally. We may find it easier to break promises to the self and they aren't as concrete. If we're affirming, I love myself unconditionally, yet we're only loving ourselves if we meet certain conditions, we may lack self-trust and abandon the self. If so, an example of this, if someone kept telling you that they loved you, yet most of their actions did not reflect that, you would not really think that's the truth. You wouldn't think they were telling the truth. So this is the same with your subconscious. It's going to take its time to accept that affirmation of I love myself unconditionally, because your thoughts and actions on the daily are conflict with this. The antidote to abandoning the self is to reinforce a healthy relationship to self. Allow your self-talk to be curious instead of defaulting to negative self-talk. You can turn it from I can't believe I did that again, what's wrong with me, to interesting, how can I best hold myself through this transition? Or how can I best release this pattern that isn't serving me anymore? This abandonment wound runs really deep. So if you have this, I would say a decent amount of people have this abandonment wound. Like, take your time with healing this wound, because its roots run really deep, and it's likely in your ancestral lineage somewhere in some way, shape, or form. One of the ways that I have done some work on this is through ancestral healing. I think we have an episode on ancestral healing. We can link it in the show notes. You can use some modalities like EFT. You can search EFT self-abandonment on YouTube. I've used a lot of emotional freedom technique videos to work through like those thoughts that I have of abandoning the self. Like I said, it's a deep wound. So take your time with healing this, and it will heal with time as long as you have like the intention to do so. So Lynn's going to go through number two of these four reasons.
So the second reason is overthinking, being stuck in the fearful mind. So we all know that the mind is a complex place, and due to its complexity, there is a lot of room for error, and why many people who had seemingly normal childhoods are still running out on outdated fearful programming that is limiting them in so many different ways. Overthinkers learned it was safer for them to live in their minds rather than fully expressing their emotions and their creative energy from their heart through their bodies. So if you're an overthinker, overanalyzer, or an overexplainer, you may already know that the answer to your problems and worries cannot be solved by thinking or analyzing even more. It is way simpler for us, and the antidote for us is in the space that you allow in. Because once you slow down, you'll be able to untangle the chaos and listen to your intuition and heart first over your mind. And your intuition is really a calm and peaceful place. And even when the matter is urgent, your ego, your mind, it will elicit a bodily response and maybe send you into another obsessive thought loop. So the solution to this is focus on bringing your awareness into the body and heart. This is like why so many people circle back to meditation when it comes to overthinking and being present, because you're bringing that awareness back to the present moment, to your body. So becoming okay with where you are and making decisions from this calm heart space rather than the over-analytical mind will really help you calm that mind and help ease the overthinking that us overthinkers tend to do. And then the heart space knows no concept of time and only knows patience as well. So an example of us resisting change while we're in the mind, when we're obsessing over where we are or where we're not, we are broadcasting a certain frequency to the universe that says, this is not where I want to be. However, it's the frequency I'm in, so keep it coming, I guess. And we continue to manifest more of the same thing in different fronts as well. So what you can do instead is say something along the lines, I accept where I am because I am learning. I'm also learning to stop settling for way less than my desires. And I'm shifting to be more in alignment. Thank you for helping me get there. I'm there now. And so that's like one of the solutions for the overthinker, overanalyzer. And Ali is going to go through the third point.
Yes. So number three is going to be low self-worth that results in self-sabotage. So this is thinking that we deserve unhealthy things in our lives due to unprocessed shame, blame, guilt, and other heavy emotions. A lot of the time, this is also looks like not having a positive role model as a child to know what a healthy relationship with ourselves truly looks like. So this may look like one or both of our parents or caretakers always putting everyone around them first before honoring their own needs. They may have overworked themselves. They may have experienced burnout. They may have had no boundaries. So we didn't really learn what a healthy relationship with ourselves really looks like because we observed this in our caretaker. We observed that you have to give, and not really give to yourself. So that can result in low self-worth. And it's also it's really linked to the first reason that we resist change, which is the self-abandonment reason. Yet the low self-worth reason manifests the most frequently when it comes to us wanting change in our financial status, number one, and number two, our love relationships. It results in us treating ourselves like we don't deserve to have partners that respect us, for example, or that we're not worthy enough to have a surplus of money. So if this resonates with you, you may find yourself in those loops of thinking you don't deserve to have XYZ type of partner or XYZ amount of money. So that definitely is manifests a lot in with low self-worth. So we may also find ourselves with little to no boundaries, and we resist making decisions and sticking to better habits that are more in alignment with our ideal reality. For example, like with me, when we have poor boundaries, it may also mean that we don't respect our own boundaries. So it's difficult for us to trust ourselves enough to make confident decisions and stick to our own word. And the example I really like for this is like telling ourselves that we want to go to bed by 10 p.m., but staying up until 1 a.m. So I'm guilty of this. This is one of the reasons that I struggle with as far as like the low self-worth and the self-sabotage. And like I said, it's really ties into number one, the abandoning the self. So Lynn's going to go through the last reason.
Yeah. And the last reason is lack of clarity or truth and or truth. So when we have a crystal clear vision and real passion fueling it, plus our soul is completely ready and on board, there is absolutely nothing that can stop us, not even the ego. So when we feel disconnected from our vision, our soul may be asking us for a shift in energy first, or that vision actually isn't really what we want to begin with. This is the time to get clear and honest with yourself. So ask yourself, is this what really lights me up? If it's challenging to think of a vision or future that excites you, the best advice is to get out of your mind and into your body and feel into the present moment before even diving into the future energy. This means feeling all the emotions, including anger, sadness, shame, and guilt. Because behind every emotion after it, is alchemized. It is released, and oftentimes the emotions we want to feel, like passion and joy, are right behind the walls we do put up for ourselves. So the suggestion here is trying breath work, yoga, or anything that really requires you to reinforce that mind-body connection. Work on your physical body health consistently and fully receive the present moment. Then come back to cultivating your vision and manifesting this from a place of presence.
Yes, perfect. So those are the four reasons. Number one is the self-abandonment. Number two is the overthinking. Number three is the low self-worth. And number four is the lack of clarity. And these are like the four, what I believe to be the four main reasons why we don't keep those promises to ourselves, or we really resist the change that we know is best for us. And then also why we can't, sometimes we find it difficult to stick to those better decisions and habits. I kind of want to skip the rest of this. Okay.
I was going to ask you something.
Yeah.
And I don't know if it's just me. One of the things that I find for myself personally is if I make like a declaration of like, oh, I am going to wake up at 7 a.m. every single day of the week. And for instance, I've been waking up at like 7:15. For some reason, instead of waking up at 7:15 or earlier, I end up waking up at like 8 a.m. or later. So it's kind of like I am rebelling against my own declaration. Has this ever happened to you?
Yeah, I feel like that goes into, for me, I feel like that goes into the number three, where it's almost like we don't respect our own boundaries or our own, like we don't respect our own declaration for ourselves. And like in your case, because if someone somewhere else were to, like, I guess I can ask the question like this, like if someone else were to ask you to wake up at a certain time, like would you, because you're meeting them, like would you do it? Kind of thing.
Yeah. So to answer that question, yes. If it was to like say I had a meeting, an appointment or whatever, I will wake up at the time that I need to wake up.
Yeah. So I feel like that is not respecting like our own time and not respecting, where am I going with that? I guess just not respecting like our own boundaries. Because I feel like if you were to tell someone you wanted to meet them at 7 a.m. and then you just text them the last second and say, oh, sorry, and they're like already on their way there, that would be, they would, one, be mad at you, probably be really disappointed, but two, it's like you respect them enough to not do that to them unless you had a really good reason. But for yourself, you feel like for me, I would feel like any reason like to sleep in is a good reason because I love sleeping in. So I feel like there aren't any like repercussions. I guess the repercussions for doing that aren't evident enough because they're cumulative. You know what I mean? Like if you wanted to wake up early and work on your dreams every day or work on like a side project every day before you go to work, but you're not keeping that promise to yourself, you don't see the results of that until years later. You know?
Yeah. No, that actually makes a lot of sense because like that's something that I've been noticing with myself is if I set up goals or like I want to change my morning routine up a little bit, like I'm already on the right track for it. But if I make a goal that's a little more complicated or like a little more difficult, instead of working towards that difficulty, I divert and go the other direction.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I do that a lot too. And I don't really agree with some of the books that I've read about making kind of the pain of not working your dreams really evident. But I do feel like if you have to use that tactic, there might be something deeper to work on there, which is like the self-respect and like the lack of boundaries with the self and like the self-abandonment. Because in a way it's abandoning like your dreams, right? Or your ideal habits, like you're abandoning yourself for something that like your ego wants more in the moment kind of thing. So I don't know if that makes sense, but.
No, it definitely does. Yeah. It totally makes sense for sure.
Yeah. So let me see. I think we'll wrap it up there. That was a really good question, Lynn. Thank you. My dog was crying like while you're asking that question. So I got my attention diverted a little bit, but I hope I was able to answer it. But yeah, thank you guys so much for tuning into this episode. There's only so much we can cover on this topic in a short period of time. And as you guys know, if you listen to our podcast often or even every now and then, you know that we like to keep our podcast episodes kind of like short and sweet. I don't think we have one that's over 45 minutes, right?
No, I don't think so.
Yeah. So it's like bite-sized and we like it that way because sometimes I don't like personally, I don't always have time to listen to like an hour and a half long podcast. So we like to keep things bite-sized sometimes. But if you do like this episode, let us know. And if you want us to explore this topic further, but thank you for being here and we'll see you in the next one.
Thank you, everybody. Bye-bye.
Bye.